I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
All right, let's return, as you are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, to the Houston Texans and what they need to do the rest of the way. Big-time victory versus the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday, 20-10, and the defense really showed up big. Offense did enough. That has been the common refrain.
Just don't screw it up.
That is the way that you have described this offense. Mm-hmm. Detour real quick. It is official that Phillip Rivers is signing to the practice squad of the Colts.
Hey, here we go.
So the Phillip Rivers is actually happy.
Is this the first grandfather to ever play?
I know George Blanda played in the NFL.
He played till he's 48. I feel like he had.
Was he a grandfather?
I would have to look that up. But it might be the first grandpa to ever play in the NFL.
That's hard to believe.
That's crazy, man.
And just as a note.
That's a pretty young grandfather too, man.
It is.
44?
Yeah. Being on the practice squad does not disqualify you from Hall of Fame consideration. You would have to be on the active roster.
Oh, really? Yeah, because it would be this year that he would
have to start all over.
Yeah, then the clock resets. So if they call him up, then it's going to be another 5 years that he'd have to wait.
Be serious. No. Be real with me right now. Mm-hmm. Phillip Rivers, a Hall of Famer?
I think he's close. I always have believed that longevity does matter if you're consistently good or really good, and that he's got that check.
He does.
And was he ever an MVP?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. I've had Phillip Rivers. He was not. But he's an 8-time Pro Bowler. He was never an All-Pro.
Yeah, I think he's close.
I don't know why I'm surprised by that, but just for some reason it hit me. He was never an All-Pro.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying Russell Wilson going to get in over him?
Who said Russell Wilson was getting in? Who said that? All right, let's keep this thing moving along. Yeah, the Colts are down bad. They're 44-year-old Phillip Rivers who ain't played since 2000.
Grandpa.
And the funny thing about it is we got Pat McAfee on in here, and I'm looking at Pat McAfee. Obviously, he's doing all the highlights of Phillip Rivers, and he's going full Colts. Phillip Rivers in 2020 looked like he was shot putting the football. Like, it looked like it was a strain for him to get that football.
I didn't know shot put right there. Look at that throw, baby.
All right.
Look at that throw.
Now, 5 years later, what is it going to look like?
He did throw for over 300 yards in his last game played.
Yeah. I think he looked better than Matt Ryan, too. Mm-hmm. I don't think Matt Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Matt Ryan looked pretty
for the Colts
poor at the end of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that week 18 is going to be a mess. Anyways, key the rest of the way for this Texans team is the offense, right? It's the same key.
Always. And it's C.J. Stroud. You know, I've been saying this because I really believe it's their mantra, even though they won't say it this way. Just don't screw it up. If they're just good enough to run the ball, get some points, get to 20, get to 24, their defense is going to win the Super Bowl for them. You know, if they can just consistently do that and limit teams with an all-time defense. But at some point, you know, C.J. Stroud is going to have to make a big play. You know, the off script that we saw against Kansas City, whether it's just a third down conversion of Jaden Higgins or Nico Collins or a big, you know, touchdown or whatever, it's still the same. The formula is still the same. At some point offensively, C.J. Stroud is going to have to make a big playoff throw, a big, you know, if they get there somehow, a Super Bowl moment or throw or whatever. Is that going to be enough, how they're playing right now? You know, run the ball, get to 24, make a play. And to be fair, we've been saying it, he is embracing this offense much better. But is that enough?
Enough is such a tough proposition because the margins are, we talk about this, and I probably use this word mm-hmm. way too much. The margins are very thin, mm-hmm. and it fluctuates depending on what those other margins do. Like, we know that the defense is the ultimate margin widener, mm-hmm. but then when you get to play calling at times, when you get to game management mm-hmm. at times, end of first halves at times, I think that all those things make it tougher to where, depending on how those things go, CJ, we need you to do a little bit more in this instance mm-hmm. Within the system that asks you to kind of not try and do too much.
Yeah.
I think it has the possibility to, but that is assuming that other wild things don't happen. You don't have mm-hmm. a team that somehow is able to make it a little bit harder on this defense than other teams have been able to make it hard on them. Or like a team that actually creates more turnovers than what other teams have created. Like, I think mm-hmm. that those are the things that can change the way that this thing goes. But for CJ, I think that what we started to see from him in the first half of mm-hmm. this game would be enough.
Right.
And from him in particular, I think overall, there were still some things that make you go, oof, with the offense. And I think that you're probably not going to outrun those this year. But CJ being able to know when to get out of the structure of the offense and go and make a play, I think it's huge, and I think that he's starting to see some of his wide receivers also open up to the ways they need to play in order to help him mm-hmm. make those plays. I thought Higgins did a great job. I might have said it yesterday, mm-hmm. Showing him numbers and getting into open spaces in those kind of off schedule type moments off script type moments. And I think that that's going to be really necessary to have somebody outside of just Nico Collins who knows, hey, my quarterback needs me. Let me go get to the football.
I'm glad you said that, because let's hear from D'Amico Ryans on the coach's show last night. And then I have a very important question for you.
Yeah, the things I like for CJ is the movement out of the pocket, escaping the pocket, keeping plays alive. I really liked him keeping his eyes downfield, making plays, especially some of the critical third downs he made to Higgins, Nico, Dalton. Like, he made some really nice throws there. And also the next thing, probably I could have said this first, just some of the what I call the sack saver plays. Yeah. It was some of those plays where he's feeling that pressure, guys are on him, where in the past we've taken those sacks. He did a great job of just dirtying the football, getting rid of it, knowing, hey, they got us on this play. Let's not make a bad play worse. So great decisions by him there. And some improvements, I think there's some throws I think we could have back. I think we can make a better throw there to Nico so we can score on the first play. And the first explosive where we run past the defender. But I think he'll just keep working into it, keep improving, making better throws. But overall, really great decision-making by him to not turn the ball over. That's always the most important thing. Didn't turn the ball over and made great decisions when bad things happen.
All right, so since Reggie was flexing a little bit earlier, I'm going to go ahead and...
Was I flexing?
Didn't I say that exact same thing
yesterday? Oh, yeah.
Didn't I say that exact same thing yesterday? So, but my question is this, and this is the important part. Has CJ developed enough with this offense where D'Amico Ryans could encourage that a little more? It sounded like he was kind of encouraging, or at least encouraged by his decision-making to make the big play when it was there, the off-script play like you talked about, and then when to dirt it. Or is it still like, hey, we're going to run the ball, don't turn the ball over? You know, see, I think you're going to have to see more of that from C.J. Stroud, not less of it.
And I think that the governor on them not doing more of that is less and less CJ Stroud as time goes. I think the third quarter was very insightful in mm-hmm. one of the things that they have to be cognizant of, which is someone asked on the text line, why don't they spread it out? I don't think that your offensive line can stand being out here solo with the defense being able to scheme upon them mm-hmm. because the likes of, I can say Chris Jones was just a monster.
Yeah.
And I want to apologize to Ed Ingram, because while he did get his ass whooped, and I will not step away from that, he wasn't the only one. Mm-hmm. They were moving Chris Jones around. He got Ariante Ursary. He got big number 77 Trent Brown at times. Like mm-hmm. everybody was getting it when it came to him. Yeah. But it's not just him. Like, George Karloftis, that hadn't had a good year, mm-hmm. was doing things. So there were some other dudes in there that were making some plays on that deep. Drew Tranquil off the edge was making some plays, and I think that you could look at those and go, huh,
yeah.
Like, this is what happens when that line is over-leveraged at times, when you want to get to the place where you think that you can, all right, they've gotten good enough where we can, no, they still need some of the training wheels, for lack of a better term, some of the assistances that have been put in place there, even though they are improved from where they had previously been. Getting the ball out quickly, some of those other things have helped make that improvement, but I don't think you can just get to a place where you're going, oh, we trust CJ to do a whole bunch of this stuff at the expense of this offensive line not having that balance that the defense has to keep an idea on and the opportunity to go forward.
Yes, but forget about spreading them out. I'm talking about giving CJ Stroud more room to say, hey, it starts to break down, get out of that pocket, we trust you to make the right play. Are they going to allow him to do that more? I think it's a possibility, and I think it's probably the best formula given the confines of this offense and the constraints for them to actually, you know, make a push.
I think this is where the moderation and everything does come in, because getting out of the pocket, extending plays is what? Longer times for that offensive line to have to block.
Mm-hmm.
That time to throw is not something that I want to see tick up to a large degree. I think the moments when you need it, you want it to happen. And it's less, again, it's less about trust of CJ. I think it's just the entirety of what they've built starts to break down when you start doing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some of it is about CJ, in that I don't know that I can put it on him like Patrick Mahomes at this point, because those are different things that we're talking about here. It'd be
but
unfair
he made
expectation.
Mahomes plays.
He did in moments, and more moments than I think that some people would have assumed with him going in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that also we're talking about a Mahomes that has carried in a larger way in the past. And also we're seeing the effects of him, of a team building themselves for him to have to carry them over there in Kansas
City. I guess
what
I'm getting at is, has CJ proved himself enough to D'Amico? Because ultimately it's going to be D'Amico's call.
To D'Amico?
For him to trust him enough to go off script more and make those Mahomes type plays.
No.
You don't think he's trusted?
I think that's inherent with D'Amico. We've talked about it time and time again this season. Yeah. D'Amico, Ryan's, this offense was largely made, even if it's not in the image of exactly what he wanted, but in the image of what he desired from an offense complimentary wise. Are they living up exactly to the standard of what he desired? Maybe not, but this is an offense that they're turnover averse.
Yeah.
They run the football. When they're doing that about as well as they can, they're having long drives to give his defense some time.
Man.
Like, that is the way that this thing is designed. And what you're talking about kind of goes a little bit counter to that. And I think that there's an understanding that you need to do a little bit of letting your quarterback, who has these special talents, display
Aren't
those
you constraining
wares time to time.
Him then?
Sure.
I mean, we know they've been constraining him. We know there was a level of frustration early in the year. But, you know, I want to let C.J. Stroud make plays that very few quarterbacks in this league can make. I'm not saying willy-nilly and, just chunk it and all that. But hasn't he done enough for you to compromise a little bit? Hasn't he showed enough, especially in this game, on the road, in that environment that we talked about, that he was smart enough to be able to say nope and just throw it to the dirt? And also smart enough and, you know, great enough to make a play across his body that helped change the game.
How much of that is C.J. Stroud and how much of that is Nico Collins? Because everybody trusts Nick Haley.
I don't think a lot of it. Well, the play call was Nick Haley, but I don't think those off-script plays were a lot of Nick Haley. I think that's where I'm going with this.
But what I'm saying is I think the off-script plays are – you can't script off-script in a way. You get what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, these have to come within the plays, and I don't think you can go, well, we're just going to have Nick Haley call more pass plays and then just hope that CJ fixes them. I think that got them into some issues with Bobby Slowick. You remember it's incumbent upon CJ to make me right in those instances. Mm-hmm. That was one of those things that was rough for CJ in this offense last year. I don't know that D'Amico Ryans wants to put that on CJ, even though I think what you're saying is fair, that he clearly has demonstrated that he has more capacity for it. I think that there is a lot more from D'Amico Ryans' seat right now in questioning what Nick Haley has and what he's doing right now.
Don't screw it up.
Right?
Nah.
You heard him in his presser in the Zoom that he had yesterday.
Oh, let's hear cut four here, because I think you bring up a really good point, Figgy, because I'm not going to say it bothered me, but I think it was a window into the world of is it cut four? The one about being on time and such. From yesterday?
Yeah, what can the Texans learn regarding the offense in week 4?
Look, there are a lot of things offensively I think we have to improve upon, specifically in the half and coming out at the beginning of the second half. It's not good enough for us. We got to move the ball better in those situations. All right. And when it comes to the pressures, there's things to learn from. We got to operate much faster with just the timing of everything, getting the play calls in and out of the huddle, getting the line properly, making the right ID, getting guys picked up the proper way. Like, we have to operate more efficiently. We have to operate with much more urgency on the offensive side of the football. You'll continue to see those type of pressures, right, that showed up. So there's a lot of room for improvement there, and we have to see that improvement very quickly.
Here's my question for you guys. I get it, and he's right. Operate better, get to the line quicker. But is that going to take them to the next level? What's going to take them to the next level is C.J. Stroud making spectacular plays.
Yeah, but I think also, again, making spectacular plays on what foundation, right? Mm-hmm. Is it the foundation of having to get to the line late and having to, you know.
No, it will help them.
I think that's more of the thing, right? It's not opening this up while the offensive play caller still shows that there's a lot of room. And all of those improvements, mm-hmm. or a majority of those improvements that he's talking about, are actually offensive coordinator. Getting that play call in early. I see you on the text line making note that, you know, give him two plays in the huddle, allow CJ to flip sides, change the run from all of that. Being able to have mm-hmm. that machination starts with your coordinator having a very clear intention with what's happening. And I think that that's still lacking to some degree with this offense.
But here's where I would disagree. Getting the play in quicker, getting the line of scrimmage quicker, that will help that particular play call. What won the game, you know, offensively, was not that particular play call. It's when C.J. Stroud went away from that and got escaped.
Yeah, but the foundation for escaping.
Again, foundation or no foundation, I don't care. Like getting to the line of scrimmage will help that particular play call if you run that play as it's designed. What I'm saying is he was at his best when, whether they were on time or not, he was outside that play.
I don't think you can build an offense out of off structure, off schedule.
No, I'm saying give him more room to do that and trust him more and compromise.
I think that there's a necessity that shows mm-hmm. up in having to do that, right? Yeah. And I think that CJ showed and demonstrated that in the instances where he needs to dirt the football, he can and he will. I think leeway to do that isn't necessarily, like, in your mind, or what I'm hearing from you is like, D'Amico's like, you can't do that or what have you.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's necessarily what's happening. I think the instances or the circumstances when the plays don't work, he has to go do that. I think what you would want is that him to have more empowerment, at least in what we were told, to have, you know, better play calls, better, you know, things mm-hmm. in his leeway for him to be able to make adjustments from what he sees from the quarterback position to make those plays work. Before having to go
I get it.
And do all those other things.
All I'm saying is, if you're going to get to another level, if you're going to get to the postseason and make a run, you know, whether, you know, it's great if you can get the play call in quick and all that, but it's going to ultimately come down to a play that C.J. Stroud makes that you were not expecting.
Sure. And,
you know?
I mean, he's shown the capability of doing that. Mm-hmm. I think that is the big flashy thing. The other things that, again, undergird that are foundation are having consistently good plays within schedule mm-hmm. to help make that play even more important.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that that's the place where they definitely could stand to grow, mm-hmm. right? So much of this offense, when it's done at its best, we talk about Tom Brady, is when you can get to the line and you can diagnose and you can dissect.
Absolutely.
Getting to the ball late, not, you know, and not having like a clarity in mm-hmm. intention in those instances. Getting in the red zone and having plays that are vertical stems that mm-hmm. take a second to develop when you know your offensive line might be under pressure. Like, I think that those are all things that you have to have and take into account for, and I think that they need to get better. I think this is more of a Nick Caley circumstance than it is a trust in CJ at this point.
I think it's both.
It's possible. It's possible. Either way, whatever that is, mm-hmm. that is the place where they still need to find development. And I know I'm happy to hear D'Amico not shying away from that mm-hmm. in front of the microphone, and CJ not shying away from that. I think that, though, it's now incumbent upon them to do it. And what's nice is that they have a couple of teams. Now, they all get paid too, right? But a couple of teams that are not at the same level of the Bills and the Chiefs or what have you that you've seen recently, that hopefully you should be able to get that done against, mm-hmm. right? Not that I'm calling for style points, but I'm calling for a clear evidence of improvement in the next couple of weeks in that way in particular to help them be a better team and a team that can go deep in the playoffs. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, and I see you. Yes, we have said it, that the Colts did sign Philip Rivers to the practice squad. He is back after 4 years of not playing football in the National Football League. Wild, wild stuff. All right, coming up next, let's do our lunchtime confession.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
All right. You talked about it in the last segment. It's officially official. Phillip Rivers has been signed to the practice squad of the Indianapolis Colts, and it kind of leads to my confession. I think Phillip Rivers starts. I think Phillip Rivers starts. They are hurting. They are hurting at quarterback. They're a mess. They're desperate. He's got a big brain, and they're playing at Seattle.
Oh, that's right.
They're playing at Seattle. And oh, by the way, a little addendum to my confession. It happened, Figgy. It happened.
What?
Diana Russini is reporting. A source close to Phillip Rivers says he's in better shape now than when he played.
Best shape of his life.
This is Diana Russini saying that. Yeah. She's like, she actually, that's a real source. So she doesn't have just spitballing takes, you know, and all this.
So stuff. You think he's in the best shape of his life?
I don't think that. That's okay. Not my confession. Okay. That was just an addendum.
I was about to say, you want to bet on that?
That was just an addendum. But I think he starts.
I could see it. It's just, what an uphill battle. What? Cause,
against Seattle.
Because he did play for the Colts last, but that was a different coach,
mm-hmm.
right? That was yeah. not Shane Steichen at the helm of it, not necessarily, or not his offense per se. I know that he has a lot of time in the National Football mm-hmm. League. I think he understands offense pretty damn well, but he's going to have to jump in and try and learn the nuances of that offense. He's going to try and have to get on the same page with the wide receivers that are there and the rest of the offense. And then that Seattle Seahawks defense is no joke. Like, I know that
anybody competes with the Texans, it's Seattle defensively.
There are a lot of things that you would point to analytically that would say that Seahawks defense is mm-hmm. better. Now, I know ain't nobody around these parts trying to hear that, but at the very least, similar type defense over there. And that is scary for the old man Rivers.
Yes, old man Rivers. He has 10 kids, 2 married children, and 1 grandson. He's starting, I think. That's my confession.
I was about to say, I hope that he has his last will and testament together, but that's probably a little more. That's too much, right? That's too much.
I'm tired of this grandpa. It's too damn bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when they yell grandpa in the locker room, they're going to like literally mean it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of times, like, hey, grandpa.
Yeah, he ain't even unk.
Yeah, you know, he's grandpa.
He's grandpa.
They're going to have to be real careful about that. Yeah, I think you might be right in that regard, and mm-hmm. I'm fascinated by that. Obviously, it's going to be a game worth watching regardless, just to see, curiosity-wise. But, yeah, the curiosity goes up even more. Because, again, I just have a hard time believing.
I hope he's mic'd up. His trash talk is next level.
And he trash talk without cussing.
Yes, and it's awesome. He's really good.
Dagnabbit.
Yeah.
Somebody said, Brett Favre was a grandfather when he played last. Oh, man, that is wild.
Was he? Damn.
When he played last?
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. So when it comes to Pro Bowl voting, something that I've forgotten to mention, like Pro Bowl voting continuing to happen, make sure you go and vote for your Texans, in particular because my confession is I am astonished that this person does not show up in the top 10 at position
I haven't
Pro
seen.
Bowl voting. So
yeah.
Texans that currently are in top 10 in fan voting
this is good.
For the
you're
Pro Bowl.
Breaking news to me.
Actually, you want to do
this? This is the latest?
This was as of yesterday.
Okay.
You want to take guesses? I feel like the guessing game is more fun.
Obviously, way. Derek Stingley.
Yes.
Will Anderson.
He's third. Derek Stingley's third in his position in Pro Bowl voting. Will Anderson, fourth. Pro Bowl voting.
Danielle Hunter.
Danielle Hunter's fifth.
I'm going to go ahead and say Jalen Petrie. What?
Jalen Petrie is not top 10 in his. I am astonished.
He might be all pro. We talked about it yesterday.
Yes, that is the thing that I am astonished by. Is like I was like, he's definitely a Pro Bowler. He might be all pro, and he is not top 10 in at his position in
Yikes.
Pro Bowl voting right now.
I think he's an all pro player. Lassiter?
Kamari Lassiter, also not top 10 at his position.
What in the hell is going on here? Well, I give up. Who else?
Kalen Bullock is second at safety, interestingly enough.
Okay.
Good to see that the young man getting his love. And then Tommy Townsend, punting-wise. Kaimi Fairbairn also, fourth at kicker.
No Nico?
No Nico Collins, top 10 in his position. But you might be able to hear me on that because rather get me on that because wide receiver, a wide, diverse position, and he had those early games where, you know, they were not – the offense was not together enough to get him the football.
Yeah.
But defensively, Jalen Petrie, I understand that he missed some games with that concussion, and I
Hell
say –
Hell, Aziz.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Like Jalen Petrie has been phenomenal in this. So yeah, get the vote up for Jalen Petrie is ultimately my point. But yeah, my confession is I am astonished to realize not top 10 at his position right now in Pro Bowl voting.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I gotta confess, man. I could be a complete jerk over something that happened yesterday for me. So, have you guys ever been so upset over something that you can't really control? And it's kind of goofy a little bit.
Like you just kind of get into a rage or whatever.
Not a bad rage, but just kind of get a little attitude.
You lose it.
It's as simple as like, let's say somebody stopped the elevator and then they come on and throw everything off, and you just kind of irritated. Okay, yeah, though it's, you know, you shouldn't be irritated over that. But I got to confess, I was so irritated yesterday. I decided to go to James Coney Island.
Good for you.
Oh, I missed
that's
James
a throwback.
Coney
Island.
Yeah. I decided to go there. I had a taste for a chili dog. And I'm like, you know what? Let me stop there.
Mm-hmm.
And mind you, the one I go to, I never see not one car there. Except for this time. When I pulled up, it was a line. It was dragging that. That line was long. I'm like, man. Yeah. I'm like, what y'all? Like, it's supposed to be empty when I come here.
Yeah.
Like, why is there so many people wanting James Coney Island?
Was it
right
one
now?
Of those days where they're doing the dollar thing?
I don't know what it was, but it was way too many cars for my liking. And I'm the same way when it comes to Arby's. I used to stop at Arby's just to get a fry, and because the only the only reason I would stop there, like, I like their fries, but I always go there because it's never crowded. So that's way better than waiting in a long ass Whataburger line or a long ass McDonald's line. But one time I went to Arby's and it was just jam-packed. I'm like, what are y'all doing, man?
And you lose it.
Y'all making my life miserable right now. I should go right up to the window.
Yeah.
And then the worst part was the time when I went to Arby's, I got up to the front, paid for my, I only ordered a large fry. And they said, hey, can you pull up to that parking lot? I'm like, man, what are y'all doing, man?
They want fries.
Like, why everybody want Arby's now, man? Yeah. Y'all be slandering Arby's all day long, but now it's over here jam-packed when it should be empty. No, I didn't. I was pissed off. But I got to confess, I shouldn't be mad over little stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I was so irritated yesterday that everybody was at James Coney Island.
I get it.
Someone on the text line knows why. 713, Figgy's getting old. That's not just you just lashing out, mad at anything.
That's exactly what it is. Like, some I got to the point now I go to certain places because I know it's not packed.
Yeah.
So when I go there and it's packed, I'm ticked off.
That reminds me of the Yogi Berra quote, the great one. He was asked about some restaurant. He goes, nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded.
That's right. That's right.
Speaking of old, I think, and maybe I need some help from you guys on this. I think this is, I'm doing the most grandpa thing ever. Speaking of grandpas.
The most.
Okay. And old. I think this is the most grandpa thing ever. So my granddaughter is having her first ever Christmas show tomorrow night.
Nice.
First ever Christmas show tonight.
You going to break out the camcorder?
It starts at 6 o'clock. I am going to be in my seat at 4:30.
4:30?
4:30, between 4:30 and 5.
Why so early?
Because I want to be in the front row to get some pictures and video. And
it'll be like, sir, you can't come in right now.
And for her to see me, you know, to see us, because I'm going to be there holding seats and stuff. Not too many, because I'm not a big fan of holding seats. And, you know, let her wave before it starts and all that. Is that the most grandpa thing ever?
Yes.
I'm planning to be there between 4:30 and 5.
People don't show up to Beyonce shows an hour and a half early.
You show at your granddaughter's show.
All right.
You show at your granddaughter's show.
Not to compare your daughter to Beyonce. I think she's better. Making a point.
Yeah. She's much better. You got to be, if you're the grandpa, you got to be seen, right? So for her to see you, that you're there and she can wave and all that stuff.
Now, the real question is, because she's a tall little
She's real
fella.
Tall, yeah.
Now, is she going to be in the back row or is she going to be
I
in the front row?
I actually don't know.
She might be in the back with the tall people, taller kids.
But here's the other part of it. I don't care. I haven't been anywhere that early, like not even a concert, not a game. Games, I usually like to get in there. You know, about 45 minutes or so, just kind
of
settle in, walk around
You're
and all
part
that
of the
stuff.
Problem.
Huh?
You're part of the problem.
I get there before the kickoff, that's for sure. But I can't remember the last time I got somewhere an hour and a half before. I'm just going to sit there.
People are with you. Yeah. Absolutely. Get there on time.
Mm-hmm.
Lopez really thinks 4:30 is early enough. They're going to have you in there right after the show.
For a preschool
that's hilarious.
Christmas show?
That is hilarious.
What if I get there 4:30 and I'm like in the back row? Yeah.
Is she singing? What's she doing?
She's doing some, like they're doing a Christmas show, you know, with the whatever, those carols and all that. She's going to sing some, and they're doing like some, I don't know. I just heard they're going to do like some ribbon things and some, you know, walking around and all that.
Sounds like a good show.
Typical Christmas. I'll send you some pictures.
It might be a scene like in Home Alone 2, where a little Buzz tried to put the little candles in between Kevin's ear.
I know she has something she's doing with like sticks, like keeping beat or something.
Okay.
Because we were at their house the other day and she's like hitting these sticks.
I'm going to be laughing like Uncle Frank in the crowd.
I'm going to be right there front row. Unless this is actually like I'm late. Like, well, a lot of parents get there early for their kids.
4:30. That's...
Yeah.
I imagine we're getting a video of this.
You will get a video.
You should. Yeah, you better get a video.
Yeah. Somebody text us. So you're going after dinner?
That's right.
Come on, man.
That's right.
Come on.
Going after dinner.
That is exactly what is happening there. All right. Those are your lunchtime confessions here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. And just because, how about we give away some tickets on this Texans Ticket Tuesday? Caller number 12 right now to 713-572-4610. We'll win a pair of tickets to see Las Vegas Raiders take on your Houston Texans at NRG Stadium. Not this Sunday. Sunday, December 21st, Texans Ticket Tuesday, remember, is brought to you by your Houston area Ford dealers. So be call number 12 right now. The number is 713-572-4610 for the chance to win those tickets. All right, coming up next, it's college football on a Tuesday where I want to have a conversation with you, John Lopez, and listener. Are bowl games dying? Let's talk about it next. Let's do a little college football on a Tuesday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. I just keep seeing college football stories that are fascinating to me, and there's only so much time to get to them. I mean, why is Utah still trying to – they're trying to do the private equity
University
thing. University of Utah, that's right. Yeah. Not just the state of Utah. Vernon Maxwell, I don't know. How does he feel about the University of Utah?
That's I'm guessing the same.
Yeah, that's fair. But that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about the big thing because there's a whole bunch of little things that we can hit. But the big thing I find is interesting is we got the college football playoff. We got it set. Your Texas A&M Aggies are in it. Your Ohio State Buckeyes are in it, Fig.
OH.
Yeah.
Gig 'em. Hey, we might be set for a showdown
here.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah. I ain't doing no bets either, man. Don't worry about the old little weird bets.
Side bets?
Now. Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to put at least some smelling salts on it?
Hey, I'm not singing no fight song. I ain't doing none of that crap, man. Okay. I just want to watch the game.
I just want to get there.
I try.
Yeah. I just want the chance to lose to Ohio State.
But clearly, these games matter. Like, they have some value. The problem is, it feels like if you're not playing in these college football playoff games, teams are showing that the bowl games might not have the same value. And so I'll ask you, John Lopez, I'll ask you, listener, I'll ask you, Fig, are bowl games dying? Is the bowl season dying now in college football?
It's just silly to me. I know this hasn't been, this isn't the popular opinion that you see on Twitter or wherever your favorite Facebook, social media platform is. Bowl games are, how many times have you seen that this weekend? They're dying. They're killing it off.
All the people opting out. Everybody. All the teams.
Notre Dame.
Yes. Bowl games.
All the six game winning teams deciding to not go to the bowls.
It'll never be the same. They're changing everything. Listen, people, bowl games are not dying, and I am confident enough to say bowl games will never die. They're going to be different, but they will never die. Let's look at our bowl game. You know,
the Kinders Texas Bowl.
The thing about bowl games is for fans, it's like, well, is that a good game? Am I going to watch or no? You know, a lot of teams, a lot of people now are not watching them as much. And I'm one of them. I think you're one of them. You know, you don't watch them as much as you used to when they quote mattered in the national championship picture. But they are not going anywhere because they are community events, that big time. You know, whether it's from, you know, city and county leadership to the local, you know, chambers of commerce. And most importantly, you know, sponsors, big time sponsors that want their name on a boat. They are never going anywhere. Mark my words. They're not going anywhere. They're going to be different. And they are different this year. You got 5-17. You got Rice going to a bowl game. All due respect. You know, I'm glad they are. I'm just saying where normally they wouldn't.
First Responders Bowl.
Yeah, you've got teams opting out. Your Wildcats among them.
Yeah.
For a number of different reasons. Iowa State, I believe. I think there's like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
It's going to be a completely different landscape. But bowl games are not dying, nor will they ever.
I think when we say dying, I think that you're right. Like, you're not actually going to lose the bowl games. But I think the reason why, you might be a little bit more optimistic in the reasoning why. I think the reason why bowl games aren't going is because they are TV products.
That too.
In our current TV landscape, nothing on live TV does anything besides live sports, and especially football. And how many times have you been between December 15th and January 5th?
It's on.
It's just like, what am I going to put on the TV? Oh, well, there's a football game, I guess. Yes. And so you're watching South Carolina play versus, you know, Utah State.
Shout out to Prairie View.
Right. Prairie View is going to be playing in the Celebration Bowl. Like, you're going to have these games that during this time period, especially when if you're off work, visiting family, just something to put on TV. I think those exist. But when I when I'm talking about it, I think that those will still be there. I think that seeing teams, not just individual players, but entire programs opt out of these things, I think that that does say something about the viability of bowls. Because it makes them different, sure, but like some of these bowls on the back end, like they exist because of the TV dollars, but the intrigue is not the same way. And I think from the program standpoint, it's not that they're making illogical decisions. I want to make that clear, because I think sometimes when people make decisions, it's like, oh, that's stupid. It's like, no, it makes sense in the context that they're in. I think programs are looking at the way that the calendar crunches now with the coaching carousel, as we've talked about, but you're recruiting on three levels. You're recruiting your players, you're recruiting other people's players, and you're recruiting high school. All of that now becomes even more of work that you need to do in this time period, that going to a bowl game, even the bowl game experiences are pared back somewhat. And I think that some of the things that the bowl games have provided, even to the programs themselves, talk less of the, you know, the fan bases, are not there in the same way. And I think that's what we're talking about, is yes, they are different, but I also think that different is not just different in the same way. I think they're different in a lesser value.
But they're not going anywhere for that, and the reasons I said, and even more reasons. When are bowl games played? December and January.
Yeah.
That is bowl season, and that's not going anywhere. It's when people, as you mentioned, turn on the TV, you know, leave it on, whether they're cooking their turkey or opening presents or wrapping presents or whatever, they're not going anywhere. The other thing is, and I think a lot of coaches are realizing this and have said so, the extra practices you get.
That's always been the thought process.
15 to 20 sometimes. That's like a spring, spring training or, you know, spring football or whatever. They don't want to give that up. They're not going to give
it
up.
More and more teams aren't giving it up. And
I know, but I'm saying I think that's going to be in flux. So you got the December, you got the sponsorships, you got the cities, you got the coaches that are, a lot of them don't want to give that up. And then you also have, let's talk about one of the most important things. If I showed you this text right now, what would it tell you? Hey, our bowl pool is open. I got this from my son.
Gambling.
You got Saturday, December 13th, Boise State in Washington. I don't know a lot about either of those teams. I've watched them once or twice.
December 13th, Saturday. What bowl game is that? Why don't I remember?
The Buck. It was. What is this? Is this right? The Bucked Up LA Bowl?
That is correct. That is the new sponsor of the
There's
LA Bowl.
There's a bowl called Bucked Up?
That's right. Where everybody's going to get to LA and get bucked up, clearly.
Bucked up.
That's right.
Nuck if you buck.
That's right.
So my point is, I've watched these teams maybe once each at the most. I'm betting on it. I'm going to put a little something on it.
And sorry to get super existential here and to get on my soapbox, because you know I want to do that. Mm-hmm. I think that all of this, you're right, it's not going to go away, but the feeling of it is changed significantly in a lesser value. And I think
I'll never disagree with that.
That's the heart of it. Yeah. And I think that what that is college football is becoming, or it's demonstrating and presenting more like the professional sports that it's been for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that is not fun.
No.
Like, even the bowl games that used to feel like they had more meaning and substance, like something like the Citrus Bowl, that's not in like the New Year's Six or whatever, but still felt like it had some value to win, now does not have that same feeling.
No, no. And I think that those are the things that are shifting. Yeah. I'm watching it different than I did when I was, whether I was 12 or 32 or 42, I'm watching it different. But they are not going anywhere. If you're worried about that, just stop where I'm fascinated by these names. The IS4S Salute to Service to Veterans Bowl. And all these sponsorships are kind of what I'm talking about. These are all, a lot of times, local sponsors.
Yeah.
I mean, do you drive by the IS4S factory every week?
I mean, what is IS4S? I thought you said it like you knew. I was convinced.
I have no idea. The you know, they have some weird stuff here. I mean, it's absolutely the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. I know that one. The Scooters Coffee. Can you get Scooters Coffee at HEB?
You can get online, I bet.
So, yeah, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, I think that that's fair. And I think that's probably the middle ground to come to, is that these are not, like, the bowl games are not going away. Mm-hmm. You're going to have bowl games on your television.
Do you feel like it's dying, though?
Because not dying.
I felt like we kind of had this conversations with the NIL and the transfer portal, too, where people, like a lot of players, opt out of playing.
Yeah.
So you got that on top of this situation where maybe – maybe certain teams try to make a stance.
They're not dying, and they're never going to die. They're just different. The Snoop Dogg Bowl. Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I think that's the second year of that.
I forgot about that. Yeah. I do wonder, though, because, again, the likes of, like, the Citrus Bowl, some of the bigger ones on the step below those New Year's Six ones, the traditional old school ones, I think those will still be there. The ones on the periphery, the Snoop Dogg Arizona, although the Arizona
Bowl. How
about Bowl's
the Tony the
bit.
Tiger Sun Bowl?
Yes. Yeah, thanks to, what is it? Is that Kellogg's or whatever that has that one? I'm interested because the bowl season got bigger and bigger as TV products. Mm-hmm. I do wonder if those ones at the very edges might scale back when you've got all these six-win teams not deciding to go, and you have games that feel like matching games in the middle of the week during the season that people maybe won't pay attention to in the same way. Mm-hmm. Do those pair back to where ESPN goes, is this even worth what, you know, the minuscule ratings that we actually get off of those? Because, again, ESPN is the thing keeping a lot of this afloat.
And gambling.
Right.
And the locals.
So I do wonder if some of the smaller bowls, because the Bahamas Bowl went away.
Mm-hmm.
That no longer served its purpose in the way that it previously
would. Well, there
are
always bowls, even during the glory days, that kind of, you know, waft away.
But they would be, I think that they would also be replaced. I'm wondering if we get bowl contraction a little bit on the edges. That's the only thing that I could think when we talk about dying.
It depends on if they're getting the TV and sponsorship money.
We'll
see. As simple as that. It's not about the game or the community spirit.
But I think the game changes the viewership at times. Maybe.
No, I'm saying the game in your city. Sure. Are you going to get sponsorships or are you going to get the TV revenue?
All right. Some other things, college football on a Tuesday. A nice big conversation. Let's dig into a few other ones. Shout out to you and Texas A&M. Marcel Reed will return.
How about that?
For another season. I think that this is the right decision. He doesn't feel like he's NFL ready.
He is an NFL player that it needs to become even a little better passer. His deep ball. He got a lot better on the intermediate throws. But he could use another year, and frankly, the Aggies are going to be in a good spot with him back again.
Yeah, this is where college football openly becoming more professional is good, right? Mm-hmm. I would have at one point said, if you're of a certain caliber of player, go to the NFL, figure yourself out, try and get to that second contract.
Hold a clipboard.
But you could stay in college, make a good amount of money, and make yourself a better prospect, and we know, especially now, the leash is very short for guys. You can't afford to jump in and not be ready. As ready as possible when you jump in is probably the best place for you to be.
And as you pointed out, he's probably, what is he, a $5 to $8 million player somewhere in there? He's probably making?
It hits me in the hits me in the chest every single time.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. and then also, we didn't talk about the bracket at all, but we'll have a lot of opportunity to talk about the bracket. First games don't happen until, what, like the 20th?
Mm-hmm. Weekend after this.
So we've got some of this. And then it seems like the entire Ole Miss staff is returning here.
How about that? All of a sudden, first it was like nobody's going back, and then, okay, we'll send you our offensive coordinator, and now pretty much the entire offensive staff is leaving LSU to go coach Ole Miss in the playoffs.
And you know what's funny? I won't even get on Ole Miss that much because they won the press conference, right?
They did.
They looked real tough and cool being like, nah, y'all can't come back here. Mm-hmm. But on the back end, when they eventually like, hey, we kind of need your help.
We don't know what we're doing.
Nobody's really going to talk about it. Nobody's going to talk about it. It'll be all right for that to happen there. We mentioned the Heisman finalists. I imagine Texas Tech's got to be feeling it because they put on the press to try and get Jacob Rodriguez in that Final Four.
He's won everything so far.
Yeah, he's won a defensive award, defender award.
The Nagurski and also another one. And by the way, speaking of local and sponsorships, the Lombardi, I believe, is either tomorrow or Thursday, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll probably win that.
Yeah. There's a couple more stories that maybe I'll sprinkle in at some point because I'm still amazed that Notre Dame had a conversation with the college football playoff and they organized with them and had got a MOU signed last spring that make it so that what happened this year couldn't happen to them next year. If they were ranked top 12, regardless of automatic bids, that they would make the college football playoff. And I can't wait for that to play out. I can't wait.
As long as they're in the top 12, we're in.
Because college football, it's not like it's all nonsense, right? Mm-hmm. And I can't wait for us to be having our normal conversations and then it turn up to another notch because we're like, wait, Notre Dame is not ranked higher than them. Why are they in? Because they got a contract signed.
They have it in writing.
Ago. That's why. I can't wait for that. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Tuesday. Coming up next, I would like to have an ode to Kamari Lassiter. D'Amico Ryans on the Coach's Show talked about Kamari Lassiter, and this might be even the most glowing stuff that we've heard from D'Amico Ryans, which says a lot. Let's talk about it next.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids. I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.